You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, Hillsiders. We're going to be in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23 today as we continue in our Easter series called Grace. And as our slide behind me says, if you want to participate, give feedback on what's happening during the message, maybe even share prayer requests, you can do so at the church phone number, 775-322-3004. Specifically, want it to be related to what we're talking about. And then also include your name so Cassidy, who's womaning the phone, will be able to know who it is. So, grace. Last week we learned a little bit about grace. Grace is a God-given gift, especially in the face of voices, the accuser coming at us with condemnation. And my intention initially was to spend time talking about grace as it's something that helps us to be able to navigate through fear, imperfection, areas where we fail, areas where we mess up. And to the more we understand and embrace God's grace for our lives, the more we're able to live in a very consistent manner and to trust Him and even to live with our own imperfections when we make human decisions and make bad mistakes. And so we've ended up heading in a different direction with the series, but that was my initial intent. But I do want to share a little commercial. Both of these books are available via the interwebs. You can get them for Kindle, etc. But one of them is called Embracing Grace by Dr. Daniel Brown, and it's the subtitle is Settling the Guilt That Unsettles You. Probably one of the best books on grace that I have ever come across. That's why I'm doing a commercial for it, okay? I'm not a paid advertiser, okay? This is just because this will help get this book. Secondly, something that when I first started reading this called The Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning. I really had wrestled not so much with grace for other people because other people need and deserve grace. I had a very difficult time receiving grace for myself. And I had never really seen how hard I was on myself until a friend who recommended, hey, you like Rich Mullins, don't you? Well, he's a part of the Ragamuffin Band. Well, this is where they got the whole idea from, the Ragamuffin Gospel. And I read a couple of pages and I just started weeping. And it was not because it was a bad book. It was because I was cut to the heart with my own need to receive and accept God's grace for myself. And if I'm going to be a person who preaches the word about God's grace, I need to have a personal witness that's in my own heart. So Embracing Grace by Daniel Brown, Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning, I'd highly recommend both of them and take your time going through them. So with that said, I was reading through some letters in the New Testament and something jumped out at me. And it's the words grace and peace. Over and over again, Paul, Peter, and John, in 18 different places, use the greeting, grace and peace, or use the closing, grace and peace to you. And I'm going to read a couple of them. They're a little bit repetitive. Romans 1:7, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:3, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:2, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You get the picture. He's saying this over and over and over again. And it made me think, I'm doing a study on grace, but he's also incorporating peace into all of his greetings. And how come he does this? Is this just a first century way, like the Hawaiians say aloha? And so this is just the way he does it. It's like grace and peace, just had to get that out of the way. This is a Greek custom. It's like, I don't necessarily think that is. I believe that what Paul and Peter and John are attempting to do is to specifically address and bless the hearers with much needed physical and spiritual blessings for their everyday life. To touch on the significance of receiving God's grace and walking in His peace every single day. And I've never been to the first century. If I was a time machine, I'd love to go back. I think the problem would be that I wouldn't understand anything that was being said because I don't speak street Greek. But the idea that our life today, I think, resembles quite a bit of what was going on in the first century. Yes, we have technological advances, but still, people are people. Nothing significant has changed. We still have the same issues, the same things that we struggle with, and the people back in the day still, they were worried about what was happening with their government. They were worried about sickness. They were worried about provision. They were worried about receiving persecution. They were worried about whether or not they were going to be betrayed. They really wrestled with stuff. And Paul, at the beginning, at the end of his letters, and Peter and John, beginning and at the end of their letters, is throwing something out there that says, grace and peace to you. This is what is necessary. So, in looking at this, we talked a little bit about grace last week. Grace being the multiple definition kind of word. The source of unmerited favor, joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, loveliness, goodwill, and loving kindness. But then also, grace being the merciful kindness of God, by which he influences us, turns us to Christ, keeps, strengthens, and increases faith, knowledge, affection, and lights a fire in the pursuit of our living our faith, to enable us to do and be more. Grace and peace. You may remember last week I talked about the word frapping. Frapping is a nautical term that is used, it basically describes a process of using ropes and chains to undergird a boat to hold it together. And in Hebrews 4, our text from last week, we looked at the fact that grace is the frapping that holds us together in our times of need. Grace is what we need in order to navigate through the challenging times. Okay? So, looking at grace, and then, and peace. Peace also has multiple definitions. Peace, the source of peace, unity, rest, quietness, security, safety, prosperity, the way or road leading to peace. Also, tranquility, the calm state of the soul, the assurance and confidence of Christ, the ability to be content with your present earthly situation. So you can see how incredibly appropriate we have the word grace and peace being. Grace being this thing that helps hold us together, and peace that helps us experience a quietness of soul no matter what else is going on in our circumstances. So with those things in mind, we're going to look at our scripture for today, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Here we go. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So this is after the resurrection has already taken place. We know that the resurrection was an incredibly powerful thing. Jesus conquers death and hell and Satan. He gets the keys to the enemy's kingdom. And at the same time, the disciples are not experiencing freedom. They're not experiencing life. They're in a room locked up, afraid that they're going to go through the exact same thing that Jesus just went through. So they're all messed up, shaking in fear, waiting for death. And all of a sudden, Jesus is in the room. Okay? Why did he have to say, "Peace be with you"? Because everybody but Thomas is in that room. And when they're in there, you know, probably discussing their own doomsday, all of a sudden there he is. It's not like they go, "Oh, Jesus, nice for you to come here." He's just recently come back from the dead, okay? And number two, the door was locked. So he just shows up. I got to admit, in my own mind, I picture Peter and James and John and Andrew and all these guys, as soon as they see it, you know, doing something along those lines, because all of a sudden, or maybe it was more manly, like fishermen, and, "Oh, I'm really scared about what just I saw." But you know, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And it says, and then he showed them his hands. "Look, it's me." The holes where he'd been pierced. And he showed them his side, where he'd been pierced with a spear while he was on the cross. And it says, and then they were glad. "Oh, Jesus." And if I had a video to play right now, it would be the reunion scene at the end of The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, when Frodo wakes up in the bed and he no longer has the ring anymore. He no longer has his finger either, but Gollum bit it off. Anyway, he's in there and Gandalf's standing at the foot of his bed and Gandalf is laughing. And all the hobbits come in And then Gimli the dwarf comes in, and Legolas comes in, and then you see Aragorn, and then there comes Samwise Gamgee, and they all come in, and the hobbits just start jumping on the bed, and they're so excited because they've been experiencing great terror, and they are now experiencing great joy. It's kind of like how we're going to be the first Sunday when we get to be all back together. I can totally sense that is probably what's going to happen. But it's that type of rejoicing. Jesus is here. He's here. He's with us, and we've been afraid, and we're thinking about losing our lives, and he's here to remind us, guess what? I've conquered death. See this? I've been pierced, but I'm still here. And he says, peace be with you. This gets us peace in the face of fear. The disciples post-resurrection are experiencing intense fear. Jesus comes to them and reminds them, your source of peace is not in the circumstances you're facing. The source of peace is not in your own physical resources. Your source of peace is found in Jesus Christ himself. He's referred to as the Prince of Peace. It's one of the titles that he gets from the Old Testament prophets because he is the one who it initiates, he's the source of it, and he's the one who dispenses and hands it out. And when he gives us something, he's not taking it back. As a matter of fact, he wants us to then take that same peace and share it with others. The resurrected Christ brings life, brings peace. Okay? It's kind of interesting because as Jesus is saying these things, I have this kind of flashback. I've been reading through the Gospel of John. I'm looking at this particular passage in John chapter 20, and I'm thinking, I bet the disciples had a flashback as they're seeing Jesus standing in front of them, reminding them about his peace, and he's got his hands, and he's got his side, and they're thinking about it. Just a couple chapters before, when the disciples were in the garden, Jesus had some discussions with them. Let's look at this, John chapter 16. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. A couple days beforehand, this is what Jesus is saying to him. Guess what? Trouble's going to happen. We're going to be stricken, struck. You're going to be smited, okay? There's going to be a smiting that happens that's going to scatter you. And he said, and everybody's going to be alone, but you got to know, I will not be alone because the Father will be with me. But it's really fun. Can we put that? Yeah, this one. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Jesus is reminding them, when you're freaking out and your world's falling apart and you're all by yourself, I'm telling you this right now because in me, in Jesus, you can have peace. In this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling them in advance what's going to happen. Now, did they pay attention? No. Do we always pay attention? Well, Joni doesn't, but I do all the time, right? She said no, that's why I said that. No, sometimes we hear it, and it's not until later that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and speak to our minds and remind us of something that Jesus has said to us. And so at that moment, as they're, I still can't get the picture of the hobbits jumping around and hugging each other. But as they're celebrating that moment of seeing Jesus and him reminding it, right? I have to believe that they're thinking on, oh, he said he was going to be our source of peace. He said we were going to go through this. And here we are coming out the other side. They're still wrestling with fear. Next thing. Peace. To be sent like Jesus. In the face of temptation, to fear and withdraw, in facing that, Jesus' declaration to his followers is peace. And then the part that if I'm one of the disciples, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? It says, just like the Father sent me, I am sending you. Well, what? We're in this room. We're glad to see you. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're alive. You've conquered death and hell. That's really good. And we're here because safety, because it's kind of popular to kill you right now, right? And anybody who is associated with you is kind of a target. And he's saying, no, just like I've been sent in the middle of, as a peace bringer, I'm sending you. The firstborn in me wants to say, okay, specifically, sending me where? Sending me to do what? Sending me why? Sending me to who? And most importantly, sending me when? I want to know all of these things. Most of the time when the disciples would ask Jesus, you know, what's going to happen? He would give them really concrete, clear direction like, come and see. It's like, come and see. Yeah, come on. It'll be great. What could happen? It's funny when you look at it, because we want all the specifics. And Jesus says, you don't need to have the specifics right now, but I'm telling you, I am going to send you. I'm sending you in a way, the same way that the Father sent me. He sent me as a source of life and hope and love and health and salvation. And because you're mine, I'm going to send you to do the very same thing. Okay? How am I supposed to do this? I love what Tim said in the Tithe Talk about coming in the opposite spirit. And what we have the opportunity to do now is really be asking the Lord, what is it that you want to do? I'm not saying we need to go out and to every person that we've ever met before and, you know, try and invade their space. I'm not saying we need to not pay attention to what's going on with our 6-foot physical distancing. Social distancing is ugly and painful. That's a personal judgment of mine. But in this situation, to say, Lord, where can I be a blessing? Where can I give help? And I got to tell you, I've heard stories of Hillsiders who are contacting Cassidy, contacting Joni, and contacting others saying, hey, on Sunday, can you help me find out who in our church needs supplies? Because I want to go on a supply delivery run. And that's happening this afternoon where Hillsiders are like, I just got to get out and help. That's one way that God wants to send us. But it's not just limited. Here's the list of the ways he wants to do it. He wants to speak to you through the Holy Spirit, so you can respond in the way that you would be and do what Jesus would be being and doing if he was in your shoes. Because if sending only looks like one thing, then we can look at it and say, well, that doesn't fit me. When we're being and doing what Jesus said would be and do if he was on our shoes, we're actually partnering with him, partnering with the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to the people around us. And in times of great chaos, we can actually be a part of the blessing, a part of the solution, instead of part of the freaking out. The key to do this is what happens near the end of this verse. Peace. To receive peace, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the key to us living, sharing, and blessing others with peace. And the picture here that says, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The word there in the Greek, you get this picture of him blowing. It's not just like a... It'd be like Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he goes, and he blows on them. Now, if you were a young Jewish disciple, like these guys were, you would immediately go back to the first time you'd ever heard of the Spirit of God. In Genesis chapter 1, it talks about how in the beginning, et cetera, et cetera. And it says, and the Spirit of God was upon the waters. And if you look at the word for Spirit, as it's describing the Spirit of God, I think it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Spirit is actually Ruach. That's the really badly pronounced Hebrew version. But it's Ruach. And what I sounded like a German when I said that, I think. Krankwagen. Something like, every German word sounds funny when you say it, and sounds fierce, like you're angry. But Ruach, this word, and it's the word for breath. And so it's the breath of God was a part of the creation of the world. And the Spirit of God is his active breath. And so I fast forward to these disciples, like, he's breathing on us, receive the Holy Spirit. There is a point of transmission that takes place where as Jesus blows on them, they receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, they waited to be baptized a couple weeks later. We see in Acts chapter 2 where they have this Pentecost experience during the Pentecost feast. But as this is the moment where everything changes for them, because they have had Jesus, the Son of God, breathe life of the Spirit into them. Kind of makes you want to flash back to the Last Supper. John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. Jesus talking to the disciples, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Get this. A couple days before, long before the crucifixion, they're sitting around the table. They've just broken bread. They've just had the cup. And Jesus is talking to them. And what he tells them is, you don't have to worry, because I'm going to send you a helper, one that will come alongside you, and he's going to teach you some things. No, what's he going to do? He's going to teach you all things. So when it's time for us to know what is it that we're going to do and what we need to know, the Holy Spirit will teach us at that time. And he will also bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus has said. I got to think that the disciples, as they're being told this, being breathed upon, receive the Holy Spirit, that there's some point of something jumping inside of them. This is what he talked about. The Spirit is going to be my helper, and he's going to give me what I need. He's going to teach me. He's going to remind me of Jesus. Because I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but a lot of the times I feel very inadequate. Inadequacy is a, you know, part of it. It's part of the human condition, but it's also one of the areas that the enemy of our soul tries to remind us of how insignificant and inadequate and freaked out, insecure that we actually are, and that we really just need to keep our mouth shut and not say anything because we don't want to say the wrong thing and, you know, mislead people by, you know, not being able to actually quote the right verse at the right time. This is a great encouragement because what it actually is saying is that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that we're to say. I've talked about this before. You know, sometimes when we're in a conversation, we can't think of the, you know, something to say, we can be really frustrated. It's like, man, why couldn't I think of anything? Well, maybe you weren't supposed to say nothing. Maybe we were supposed to be quiet during that time. And rather than looking at it as a sign of your own insignificance and inability and unworthiness to serve, maybe it just wasn't the time for you to share anything. The Holy Spirit will teach you what to say and will remind you of what Jesus says. Our adequacy and our significance and our ability to be used by God aren't based in our natural gifts. The disciples, one of the things that stood out about them is that when the rabbis, the teachers of the time, had the opportunity to choose disciples, none of these guys had been chosen. They'd had the early schooling that everybody was required to get, but then the rabbis were given the opportunity to choose them. These were all the kids that did not get chosen to be disciples. They get to instead got to go back and work with their parents, you know, James and John and Peter and Andrew, all these guys as fishermen. They get to do that. And so later on in Acts chapter 4, when these very normal people are standing up in front of the most intelligent, most well-educated religious leaders of their day, and they're defying them. They're saying, you know what, decide for yourself whether we should listen to you or whether we should follow what God says. And it says those religious leaders looked at them, and it says all they could see was a bunch of ordinary men who had been with Jesus. That is where any help or life or peace that comes out of us comes from. The fact that Jesus' peace, which he's given to us, and he doesn't give it like the world gives, he gives peace that remains, peace that goes beyond circumstance, peace that is in here. He gives that to us so that we can then be carriers of peace. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 reminds us that he wants us to be rejoicing. And if we have concerns, if we have worries, if we have cares, to cast those cares upon him, to present all those requests and thanksgivings and petitions, and just to get rid of it all. And then we can know that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Because peace is not the absence of conflict or the absence of a storm. Peace is, in the middle of all of that, being able to be at rest and experience a quietness that comes from the understanding, my God has this. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you. So, to be sent. First, we recognize the tangible peace, the peace of Christ, is given to all of God's kids with no takebacks. He tells us, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. And then we've got, these guys are being sent to do good in Jesus' name. We can declare a message of forgiveness in Jesus' name with authority. We can declare peace be with you because it's with us. We have a message of life, of hope, of compassion, of peace, of restoration. I like to think of this. One time, I'm not really an outdoorsman. Some of you may know that about me. I prefer the indoors to the outdoors. But there was a time I was on a boat in Eagle Lake near Susanville. And I was inside the boat, had my life jacket on, and other people were water skiing. Louis did not want to water ski. He's about 8 years old, so I was the flag guy. So every time somebody was in the water, my job was to hold the flag up, and I hold my flag high. I'd wave the flag, and I was excellent at that. I should have received gold stars for my flag waving. But the thing that stood out to me the most was when the person who is skiing, you see behind the boat, they have this thing called a wake. And the wake, it's like these ripples in the water. And depending on how fast the boat's going and how it's squirreling around, whoever's driving, whoever's operating the boat can make these wakes really big. And some of the people who are actually skiing had more fun when the wake was bigger and they're jumping over wakes and things like that. And it helped convince me I shouldn't do it at all. But the thing is it's the wake. Whatever was going on with the boat, it would cause this aftershock to be seen in the water in the wake. And as a picture in my head, I started thinking of especially years later, looking at this as it's a, if Jesus is the boat and he leaves peace in his wake, everyone who's encountering this wake is going to experience that peace. And if he's given his peace to me and I get to be the boat, then everybody that comes in my wake is going to be able to experience peace. Be a person who leaves peace in your wake. Make a determination on the as you start each day, as you close each day out, whatever's going on with you, say, I'm going to have peace in my soul. I am going to leave peace behind me in my wake. Let that be true of us. And then when it comes down to it, recognize every single one of us, just like those disciples, is being sent. As for such a time as this, the church is Jesus' hands and feet. And we're looking for opportunities, again, to be and do what Jesus would be and do if he was in our shoes. I'm not talking about these grand things. Look at all the thousands of people we touched, because we're not really going to be able to do thousands, but you can definitely touch one. Look for the people around you who are in a point of help, who need a point of help. Look for the people around you who are panicking and in fear, and do what you can do to be a source of blessing to them. Kindness is wonderful and it's beautiful. Kindness is God's love in action. So, in just a minute, I'm going to have opportunity for you to feedback. I've been receiving some of those things. I normally don't have my phone on during the message because I don't want to be interrupted. But today, I've asked you to interrupt me. And since I didn't start looking at this until just now, we're going to review what some of those things are. But also for you in here, what are you doing with what you're hearing? Think on that for a second. Almost done. So this brings us back to the beginning. Grace and peace. Blessing to guide our every step. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Saying, I receive you, Holy Spirit. To be led by the Spirit to be a source of peace. To be a source of hope. To be able to share with others what Christ has given to us. Look for ways that we can do that. And so, anybody in this room? What you got? Okay, can you come on up here and grab this? I'll let you... No, just talk where you are. It's fine.
So what you said about the frappe holding the boat
frapping.
Together?
Frappe is the frappuccino, frapping.
I keep connecting, you know, the sustaining of peace in our life is dependent on that ability to have grace for ourselves and grace for others. Because, you know, often peace just seems to slip through my fingers. And so it's kind of, I keep thinking back to maybe I'm not allowing grace in myself and for others to be able to sustain it.
Yeah. Anybody else? Let's see what we got. All right. Matt Emmons. Good to hear from you, Matt. I love that the breath of God is the Spirit. As we see, Jesus breathes on them before he ascends, and how God creates man by breathing into his nostrils. From the beginning, God has been providing his support and help in his breath. Let's continue to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Good stuff, Matt. Yeah. Anybody else in here? No. Yeah, there we go. Joni.
I liked what you said about peace is found in the middle of the storm, not in the absence of the storm. And I think that we can see a lot of areas in our life where... that we're in need in the middle of the storm, and it's like, I need more money, I need more sleep, I need more, you know, time, whatever it may be. And it's actually in the middle of the storm, in the middle of those situations, that we get to experience God's provision, God's grace, God's rest, God's peace. And so many times we don't want the storm. However, it's in the middle of that, and what you said, I just thought it was really profound. It's probably a song to who knows. But that Jesus is right there with us, and for us to put our eyes on him in those moments and look for him, that he's right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and recognizing that he's given us his peace, he's not taking that away. We can feel like we don't have the peace, but if he said he's given it to us and it's not going anywhere, it's there for the accessing. It may simply be, like King David said in one of his psalms, be still, my soul. Be quiet. Wait upon the Lord, reminding himself of that, to bring himself back to it. Because the enemy does want to come to steal our peace or to make us feel the feelings that are scary. That's when we remind it, nope, Jesus is still in control. Jesus is the one who's still in charge. So anybody else? Cassidy.
The storm and the boat thing also reminded me of a little song that we did when I was a kid in kids' church that goes, with Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm, smile in the storm, smile in the storm. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm when you're sailing home. So
glad your voice came back, by the way.
Yeah. So that's if when you're in the storm, just have some peace and smile in the storm. And then also from Sean McConnell, when we were talking about the peace that we've received and we give, he chimed in, freely you received, freely give. So thanks, Sean.
Yeah. There's something that happens to us when we take our eyes off of our own needs and circumstances and we look to, I mean, we're not forgetting it, we're not living in denial, please know that, but we're also looking to see, who else can I help? Where else? And God will stir your heart. He will do it. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we thank you for the grace and peace, the things that hold us together, the gift that you've given to us that can never be taken away, that goes beyond our circumstances. In the midst of the time when the whole world is freaking out, we thank you for the quietness of soul and the being held together by your loving arms. I ask, Lord, and I would bless every person who's hearing this with a tangible sense of grace and a tangible sense of your peace, that it's not just related to the emotion or the feeling that's attached to it, but it's related to the very fact that Jesus said it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And these things are true, and they're yes and amen and right on for all of us. Lord, may we know that, and may we practice it, and may we spread it. May we leave that in our wake. Lord, we also want to take the opportunity to pray for all of the medical professionals, all of those in all the fields that are very much on the front lines and having to work not only with the people that are think they're sick or feel like they're getting sick or who are very much are ill, and they're experiencing this every day. I pray for great sustenance for them. Lord, that you would give them divine health and divine protection. You'd surround them, encase them, and just give them what they need. Give them the grace to be sustained in the middle of where they are. And Lord, for each other person who is out on the front lines interacting in these jobs, whether it's with waste management or they're working at a grocery store and their hours are funky and they're going through all sorts of stuff trying to be a source of blessing and help to keep things moving along in our society, I bless them with grace as well. Lord, you said as Hillsiders, we are the light of the world, and as a city on a hill, we cannot be hidden. You have made us to do good works that bring glory to you, Heavenly Father. Show us what it looks like in this season of life, March 29th, 2020. What's it look like to do good works in your name? As you bring those to us, Lord, as you remind us of people to be praying for, remind us of cousins and nephews and neighbors and people to reach out to, Lord, I would ask that we would be faithful to it and that we would see your goodness, because Jesus, you are good. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. So, grace and peace be with all of you. Looking forward to connecting with some of you this week. If you are interested in participating in an online Bible study tomorrow at noon, email the church, web@hillside4.org, and I will send you a link through Zoom to be able to connect. And we will be going through one of the books of the Bible. I believe we're going to be looking at the book of John and wrestling through that a little bit. But it'll be tomorrow at noon through Zoom. So if that's you, web@hillside4.org, send that over. And we're going to have a virtual Bible study and also some talks, because it's fun to do that. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy. Be a source of blessing. Grace and peace to you.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.